Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Time for us to check in with Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun this morning. Good morning, Vaughn.
And good morning, Simi.
All right, let's get an update on this whole decriminalization walk back situation. Where are we at with this? Because they make an announcement, but there still have to be a lot of things that happen before we do this.
Oh, yeah. The walking backward began last Friday afternoon. So we're coming up on the first 1 week anniversary, and it is still a struggle to find out exactly what's going on or even what they're calling it, because they've said, no, we're not recriminalizing. And yet they've also said we're recriminalizing. So what happened yesterday is the government finally released the letter that they wrote to the federal government asking for Ottawa's help in severely restricting open drug use in BC. So this entails a change in federal legislation. It can be done with a stroke of a pen. It doesn't mean they have to put a vote in Parliament. Just be done through regulation. So what the letter says is, we would very much like you to restrict open drug use in British Columbia to a very small number of places. It was pretty wide open before. So those places where you'll still be able to take illicit drugs, possess illicit drugs, the small quantities, private residences. For people who don't have private residences, if you're legally sheltering, so that would be in a shelter, it could be in an SRO or hotel, and it, I think, I'm not sure about that one, they don't specifically say, and a tent in camp. Then we get to clinics. So a clinic that provides overdose services or recovery services, you'd be able to do it there. Everywhere else, no more. So no public spaces, and that, Simi, includes public spaces where the public is welcome, whether it's implied that they're welcome, whether or not they have to pay a fee to get in there. It includes transit. It would appear to me to include bus stops and SkyTrain stations, which have been one of the big problems. So they're very, very much narrowing where you can do drugs. Possess and consume, inhale, because a lot of it's inhalation now. It's still not clear from reading all this exactly how it will work in some of the most difficult places to enforce this law. It'd be straightforward: parks, playgrounds, bus stops, SkyTrain stations. But the big problem is still with the hospitals, and I must admit, Simi, I've been listening carefully to what the government's saying about how this is going to work, and I have to say, they don't know how it's going to work. And I'm hearing that from the healthcare system, too. Everybody wants to make this work. They are trying to adapt, the hospitals in particular, the health regions, but it's still an open question. I know the government's hoping this will go away. But I don't think it's going to go away. Oh, and yes, what about Ottawa? So they've written them a letter. Federal government said, well, at one point they said, well, we haven't even heard a request yet from the province. Well, now they have. And Simi, the federal government is saying, well, we're looking at it and we're studying it. But, you know, Ottawa doesn't exactly say how high when a province says jump, especially if it's not Ontario and Quebec. So I don't know when we're going to get this from Ottawa, when they're going to change the regulations, exactly how they're going to change the regulations. And then, of course, the police and the authorities out here are waiting for instructions on what's actually changed, because they really want to deal with this, but they still don't know precisely how it's going to unfold.
Right. So what are their options then, if Ottawa is slow?
An interesting option today in the National Post, Chris Selle, he points out that You know, the letter to Ottawa from the province says we have to do this because the courts out here have been blocking the provincial attempt to deal with this. The courts sided with the rights of drug takers and issued a temporary injunction against the provincial attempt to do this by law. Well, it's been pointed out by others, province has the option under the Canadian Constitution to invoke the notwithstanding clause, which essentially says, in spite of what the courts say, we're doing this. It's used all the time about Quebec. Nobody makes a big deal of it. Saskatchewan used it recently in this battle over the use of pronouns in the school system, and they invoked it. So the BC government could, if they thought this was a sufficiently serious threat to public safety in British Columbia, which I think it is, and to their re-election chances, which I think it is, they could invoke the notwithstanding clause. Now, ideologically, New Democrats are totally opposed to that. They say you're not going to trample people's rights, even though the clause was put there in the Canadian Constitution to be used in situations just like this one. I don't think they'll do it. They are entirely dependent on Ottawa riding to their rescue. And Simi, you know, I don't cover the federal government on a daily basis, but I think from my reading of the coverage nationally, Ottawa is somewhat distracted by other issues.
Yes.
So I don't know whether they're going to get around to doing this. David Eby said he talked to the prime minister and he was kind of vague about what he actually asked the prime minister for, because that letter hadn't been written at that point. But he said, talk to the prime minister understands the urgency of the situation here in British Columbia, and the premier believes that Ottawa will act quickly. Well, it's a week tomorrow. We'll see.
We will see about that. Also, did they say they could think about invoking the notwithstanding clause, or that's just an option that is, you know, out there?
It's an option out there. I think the Conservatives, of course, have already suggested it. They're on the ball on this one, and they're comfortable with the idea. BC United, I don't think, has asked for it. It hasn't been asked directly in the legislature yet. There is a question period in the House today, so maybe it'll come up. But as I said, the John Horgan, back when Doug Ford was talking about using the clause against, I think, a labor dispute in Ontario, John Horgan made a point of saying NDP would never, ever, ever use that clause in the Constitution. So it would mean walking back that commitment to do it. I don't think the New Democrats are looking at that as an option. But, you know, right now, they're waiting on Ottawa. They're waiting for Ottawa to give them what they want. It hasn't happened yet. Premier says he's sure they'll do it. Well, we'll see.
All right, we are back with Vaughn Palmer this morning, and we're talking about an investigation, finally, into what happened with Litton. And Vaughn, this has been a long time coming.
This is incredible. So, I mean, it's been 3 years, June 30th.
Already.
Litton burned to the ground in a matter of minutes. And, you know, the politicians went there. We'll be there for you. You know, don't worry. We're going to rebuild Litton. John Horgan said it's going to be a state-of-the-art, world-class community. We're going to do this. Well, you know, it's still, what is it now? There's 3 years. There's been a little bit of work done there, but there's been huge holdups, any number of reasons. And the government has done everything it can to make sure there's no independent scrutiny of what happened there. The Public Accounts Committee of the legislature, the opposition made a motion last fall to have, you know, request a look into this, and the New Democrats, of course, used their majority to vote it down. They've ducked question after question in the legislature, but finally, the Independent Auditor General, an agency that the New Democrats can't control, no matter how much they might try, has a great statement on his website posted yesterday. Michael Pickup, he's going to look into what happened with Litton, the provincial government's accountability, the provincial government's response, why it's taken so long. And finally, we're going to get an independent review of all this.
I can't even believe it's taken this long. Yeah. And some people have been very good about kind of making sure this stays in the limelight kind of thing.
Yeah. Full credit here to Jackie Teagard. She's the BC United MLA for, well, her riding includes Lytton. And she has been on this. I don't know how many times she's made a statement in the House. She's the one who tried to get the Public Accounts Committee of the legislature to launch into this. And she and Peter Milibar, another BC United member, the one for Kamloops, wrote a letter to the Auditor General, okay, a year ago, saying, will you look into this? You've got the power to do it. And Pickup has responded. So it's taken a while, but again, I'm not going to dump on him. He's doing it. He's got a lot of other priorities and a lot of other issues. He's doing it. He's launched into it. He is going to examine, he says, the province's role and responsibilities for disaster recovery, its support for Lytton, including how much funding it actually contributed, and the challenges that were faced in rebuilding Lytton and why the province could do maybe a better job on that. So he's doing it. His report won't come out until next year. It takes a while to look in these things. And as you might imagine, the government will not be springing into action to help him and give him everything he wants. I'm sure they're going to be dragging their feet. But we're finally going to get it. And it's long overdue. Full credit to especially Jackie Teagard for pushing this, mm-hmm. trying to keep it alive. There's been some good news media coverage too, you know. Fraser Valley newspaper and my colleague Glenda Loomis from the Vancouver Sun, there's been lots of coverage, trying to keep the story alive. But what a struggle. And Simi, when you look at it, you know, a town burns to the ground and 3 years later there's not much been done. You know, Fort McMurray in Alberta was rebuilt in the amount of time it's taken our government to duck questions about why they haven't done it.
That's very true. Well, it sounds to me like the Auditor General is working on quite a few significant reports these days, but we'll wait for that. But also, we have to mention the Surrey policing situation here. I know we have to because of this court case that's going on.
So it turns out there's a 45-minute phone conversation between Mike Farnworth and Brenda Locke taken in the middle of all this standoff that, you know, this kind of reveals two people that are talking past each other. I guess that's the most generous thing I could say, trying to sort things out and swearing up and down that they really want to work this out. But you listen to it and you go, you know, these two don't really like each other and they don't communicate very well. The challenge for the provincial government when you go through it, and I'm relying on Rob Shaw's account of this because I have not listened to the tape myself, but the challenge that you get through this is, you know, if you've got a problem being handled by two people that are talking past each other and don't particularly trust each other, and Locke comes out afterward and says that Farnworth is bullying her, well, she's the mayor of Surrey. She's not going anywhere. The premier could appoint somebody else to deal with Surrey on this issue. He's not done that. If he really wanted to make progress on this issue, he should have done that some time ago.
Doesn't look like that's going to happen, though, does it? And no, also, it no, wasn't no. just, I read Rob's coverage on this, too, and it wasn't just necessarily the two top people here. At the lower level, some of the bureaucrats didn't like each other either.
No, and, you know, the problem the bureaucrats had here was the provincial government was pushing its public servants and appointees to get it done. The premier said at one point he was getting beaten up by the opposition on the public safety issue in Surrey, and elections coming, they wanted it done. So there's huge pressure on the provincial public servants. And Surrey's public service, the mayor and a majority of the councillors wanted to go back to the RCMP. They thought it was going to be very, very expensive to go ahead with Surrey Policing Services. And they were telling their public servants, like, we want a clear answer on how much this is going to cost. And we want the provincial government to pick up the tab because they're imposing it on us. So it wasn't a lack of professionalism on the part of the public servants. It was the fact that they had their masters, provincial government and the city government, had a completely different agenda here. And as a public servant, you're caught in the middle. You got to do, mm-hmm. you know, you shouldn't be making political decisions on your own. You're trying to do what you're being asked to do. The other side isn't listening because the other side said, we don't trust you and we're not persuaded that this is the right way to go.
Talk about broken. All right, Vaughn, thank you.
Bye-bye, Cindy.
That is Vaughn Palmer there from the Vancouver Sun.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.